In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This fifth and last conference for this retreat is on carrying your cross. Carrying your cross, our Lord Himself tells us, take up thy cross daily and follow me. So it comes right from the mouth of our Lord, telling us what we need to do. What we ought to do, and if you will, work what we are commanded to do. We've all been given a cross. Every cross is different. Don't ever make the mistake of having the desire to carry somebody else's cross, because you have no idea what their cross is like. What one person is able to do, another is not. One person may be able to carry their own cross well, and if they were to take upon themselves another cross, it could crush them. Accept the cross as it's given to you. Now, what does this mean? There are many different things that we're called upon to do in this life. First, as a Catholic, it's quite obvious. Attend Mass, receive the sacraments. Pray. Pray daily. Pray multiple times in a day. Live a Christian life. Do all those things which our Lord and Holy Mother Church have given to us. And then according to one state of life, single, married, religious state, to live according to those things which we are called upon to do, the duties and responsibilities of that state of life. Those are the most basic. For many people, that's enough. Others can be overwhelmed with these things. What seems to be a light cross for some will be a very heavy cross for others. We wonder at times why it is that a person cannot handle a given situation where you had easily dealt with a similar situation. Maybe because you're more capable than the other person. Maybe you corresponded with the grace that God gave you, and that person did not. We really never know. And how is it that man and woman can marry and at times be so very different? One is a saint, one is a sinner. The simple explanation for that is that one is corresponding with the grace that God provides and the other is not. One is willing to carry the cross which God has given them and the other is not. This explains why in family life, especially in large families where you have a number of siblings, as they grow into adulthood, they go in different directions and they end up living very different lives. And I don't mean one's a doctor, one's a carpenter, one's a bricklayer. I don't mean that. Professions, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about regarding the faith. How can one be a very fervent Catholic and the other one fall away from the church? The answer is simple. It comes back to grace. The grace to carry the cross. Some will accept it readily. Others flatly refuse it. When you understand it from that standpoint, there aren't too many mysteries in life as to why things happen the way they do. We scratch our head in our own generation when we look at people, known people in the world. How can they do this when they have just done something that is horrible, that is terrible? they haven't used the grace. Maybe they've denied it. Maybe they've refused to carry the cross. Maybe they're godless people. And all of this means nothing to them. One of the most important things that a parent can do for a child is to teach them not only to love God, but the willingness to carry the cross that is given to them joyfully. Joyfully. There's nothing worse than trudging through life carrying a cross which finds them miserable, sad, depressed, and basically unwilling to do that which God desires. Because it comes back to this. Who is willing to do God's will in their own life? That's where it has to begin. If we strive to be the best possible example, making use of the grace of God and making a point of carrying one's cross each day, you will find that that cross is light and sweet. Our Lord has told us so. And if we do this, life is much different than what it could be. It's the acceptance of what God has given you. And a cross that is much heavier than what it was meant to be because of our own decisions and judgments. An example would be among Catholics is the difference between a very fervent Catholic attending Mass, receiving the sacraments, having a very strong prayer life, knowing that they must do their very best in order to get to heaven. And the Catholic that is a fallen away Catholic, indifferent, mediocre. You may not see it, but their cross is extraordinarily heavier than the good Catholic. The saint, the one who strives for sanctity. And it's because of their decisions. At times you will find an individual who doesn't seem to be able to make a right decision in their life. I'm talking about big decisions. Every time you look, okay, he's made a decision, but it's not the right one. And that person continually makes wrong decisions. Yes, it can come back to judgment. But it also can come back to the rejection of God's grace and the unwillingness to carry the cross. Because you see, God has a way of trying to get that individual's attention when they make mistakes. He does it with all of us, but especially with the individual who, in so many words, is rejecting him. Because a person has until his last breath to save his soul. Now, there are those individuals who have done an extraordinary amount of evil in their life, and they could never make up for it. But we're not talking about those. Although, that is a point in itself. That statement of our Lord's about carrying one's cross would do well to be imprinted upon our souls at a young age. Side by side with that is a parent teaching a child and being an example in loving God. How much do you love God In order to get to heaven, we must do God's will. Because if we spend a lifetime doing nothing but doing what we want and not being concerned with God's will in our life, extremely doubtful that we're going to make it to heaven, because it's a sign of selfishness. Now, a person can be very happy, because this is where the world is going to mislead you. They're going to tell you, oh, if you follow God's will in all things, there's no way you can be happy. How many times have we seen over the years, especially in the last 500 years or so, Protestants talk about nuns in the convents, men in the monasteries. Well, they must be the most unhappy people in the world. How can you live that way? I've had at least a few men along the way in my travels ask me, how can you live without a woman? Very well. Sorry, ladies. Don't take it personal. But the point is this. Within our vocation. And understanding what it is that God desires of us. One of the mistakes that people generally make is they make it complicated. Oh, Father, my life is so complicated. As I've gotten older, I've learned just to listen. If they're asking for a comment, I will give them a comment, but quite often it's a case of, no, life isn't that complicated. We are very good at making life complicated. We can make the spider's web look quite simple compared to what our life can be at times, because of our unwillingness to do that which we should. That's why for the ladies who go into the convent and live a full life in the convent, you will find some of the happiest women in this world. For the man who goes into religious life as a priest or brother, and those men who are all closed off to the world, they can be some of the happiest men in this world, because they have followed God's will. They're receiving the sacraments for the priest, the saying mass each day. And they're fulfilling God's will for them in that life. See, the world is filled with traps. One spiritual trap after another. And that's what we have to come to recognize. One of the most important things that a parent can do for a child and for the young adults to learn, if they haven't learned this. I didn't learn it when I was young. It only began to be taught to me in the seminary years. It's not that I had bad parents, it's just that it didn't come across this way. We knew that we had to be good in order to get to heaven. We understood that. But the idea of carrying one's cross side by side with doing God's will. Now, I will say this, and this is where I get a little personal. I've told this story to several people, so it's not that private. I was blessed, extraordinarily blessed, at the age of 21 when I began to look for a seminary. Because at that point in my life had done a 180-degree turn. And in so many ways, my head was spinning. But there was one thing that became rather clear, that I defined a seminary. And there was one thought that guided me. It guided me not only in finding a seminary, but also through many of the old, actually several years in religious life. And it was this thought. I'm not putting myself on a plateau, so I don't want anybody to think that I'm boasting here, because I don't want it to come across this way. one of the best lessons that I can pass on to others is my own experience. That one thought was this: if this is what God wants me to do, then I must do it. And there was a lot of rough road in those early years. A lot of rough road. Roadblocks. What seemed to be a dead end at times. Trying to figure out where to enter the seminary. And everything that came with it. But that's what guided me through all those years. One of the most important things that I can pass on to young people. And it's an unfortunate thing, because of all the children that I've taught here and other places, I'm not sure how many children really understood it or were willing to do it. And that is, I must pray that I know God's will for me. Which is another way of saying, I need to carry the cross that God has given me. God's not going to give you a cross which you cannot carry. How often do we hear people say, I don't know if I can carry on. Or I'm overwhelmed. Or this is just too much. Why is God doing this to me? And all of them are the wrong attitude. Maybe they don't understand. Yes. At times that is the case. But the fact is that God is always going to provide you with the grace to be able to carry your cross, however difficult it may be. And at times, yes, it can seem overwhelming. But you, as you know, as adults, you have to push your way through this. Maybe I should say, pray your way through this. How many people during difficult times, they stop praying? Something happens in their life, something traumatic, and they stop praying. They get mad at God. They get mad at God. They're bitter at him. Some return, others don't. And why is it that you're mad at God? His providence is such that he's always looking out for the salvation of men. And too often, whatever it is that happens in this person's life, maybe it was their fault. Maybe it wasn't. But all things happen in such a way as to bring about that person's salvation and the salvation of those around him. Especially if you're a parent in a family. These examples are tremendous examples within the context of a family. And it can and will change the course of a child's life. As adults, one of the things that we have to keep in mind, because sometimes we get so old, we think, well, I can't change. If you need to change, you better. You better. There's a reason why Holy Mother Church teaches us salvation is possible even to the last breath. How many Catholics were brought back into the church on their deathbed? How many individuals who were baptized on their deathbed? How many Catholics who had been away for so many years, and at the last moment they came back? Not only is that a work of God's grace, but it surely is a sign of his mercy. And how many Catholics, as an example, fell away from the faith for a reason which was not good, because it's always a reason that is not good. There is no such thing as a Catholic walking away from the faith for a supposed good reason, because that doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. How well do we wish to carry our cross? Make that a part of your prayer each day. Carry your cross. Know God's will. Call upon His mercy. Ask forgiveness of your sins. They don't need to be long prayers. You see what I just did. In a few short words, I stated three very important things. Sometimes God hears that short plea, the begging, truly begging, for God to help you so that you can see, that you can carry your cross in a joyful way. Joyful way. God does not intend us to go through life sad, morose, and depressed, as we would say today. You look around, you see so many depressed people. How many people are on medication for depression? I'm not saying the situation's not real. All I'm saying is how many of these individuals could be easily cured of this, either through a confession, a very good confession, if they're Catholic, or changing their life in such a way to where they stop sinning and stop offending God. Because there's nothing more important than this. Nothing more important. Because when you look at the list of priorities in one's life, first one has to be to save your own soul. And it's like 1A and 1B if you have children. The salvation of your own children. All the different things that we do in life, places to go, with people we meet, the work that we do, it's all secondary. It can be a help. Excuse me. It can be a help toward one's salvation. But that's what it is. It's a help. Because when you look at the number of saints, they come from all different backgrounds, the different cultures, the different things that they did in this life. But there was one common thread: to sanctify themselves. Even when it looks as though, how do these individuals save themselves? We're in a time where a true mass is quite rare. And you've heard me explain this time and again. You have people in the world even today that maybe they get the Mass once a year, once every 5 years. We've got some of our own Catholics, a handful of them in this country, who haven't been to Mass in years. Not because they don't want to be attending. Circumstances are such that is the case. And you can still sanctify yourself. Be truly brave. Be joyful. Pray for the grace to be able to carry your cross each and every day. Amen.